Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Holiday Illusion by Lynette Eason, narrated by Romy Nordlinger. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. 1. The boy was going to die. Lucas stared down at Paulo, the 9-year-old child in the hospital bed, listening to the heart monitor blip and beep, the sound echoing through his brain as though amplified by 100 microphones. An innocent child, with no one in the world to care whether he lived or died, except the staff at the Amazon orphanage in Tefé, Brazil. With compassion crimping his heart, Lucas reached out a hand to brush a finger down the silky soft skin that in the absence of a miracle would never know a whisker. His knuckle bumped the oxygen tube attached to Paulo's nose, and he stirred, eyelids flickering up, down, then back up. The brown eyes focused in on Lucas, and the boy smiled.
"Hey, Paulo, how are you doing? Hanging in there?"
The Portuguese fell from Lucas's tongue with practiced ease.
"Sim," the boy breathed. "I will get a new heart soon. Right, doctor?"
"Soon, Paulo, soon.
I hope. But here in Brazil, it wasn't likely. Even in some of the bigger cities where healthcare was improving, a heart transplant was a rare occurrence. The boy's best hope lay in the United States. He'd had Paulo on the list there for 4 months now. Paulo's time was running out.
"If I don't, I will die, yes?"
Speaking drained his energy, but the look in Paulo's eyes told Lucas he'd better be honest. Paulo knew all about death as he came from the slums of Brazil, a place that made the slums of America look like high-class living. Instead of answering with a yes, Lucas asked,
"How would you like to take a trip to America?"
Brown eyes shot wide, hope mingling with disbelief, as he stared up at his beloved doctor.
"America?"
Lucas nodded.
"That's the only way you're going to be able to get a new heart."
"When?"
"As soon as I can arrange for someone to take you."
"Will I get to build a snowman? I've always wanted to build a snowman and see snow on Christmas Day."
It was all Lucas could do to keep the tears from his eyes. He'd been a doctor for a few years, even had patients he'd become fond of. But Paulo, he stroked the boy's hair.
"Sure thing, Paulo. As soon as we get to America and get your new heart, we'll build a snowman for Christmas. It'll be here before we know it."
"He needs to go to the States?"
Lucas whirled to face the quiet voice from the door.
"Anna."
As always, his heart kicked into overtime as he watched her come into the room. She'd been his best friend for 3 years, but lately he found himself wondering if their friendship could become something more. And yet he was hesitant to push it further for a couple of reasons. One, he knew her faith in God was her mainstay, and he didn't put stock in religion. You could depend on yourself, and that was it. Still, he had to admit, as he'd watched her over the past few years, he was becoming more and more interested in God, simply because he saw something in her he'd never seen in anyone else. And two, she was hiding something, holding something back, and until he figured out what that was. Short, sassy curls framed a perfect, oval-shaped face that held stunning blue eyes, high cheekbones, and full lips. He watched those lips stretch into a sad smile as she zeroed in on the sick child.
"Hi there, Paulo."
She didn't ask how the boy was feeling. It was pretty obvious. Walking around to the other side of the bed, she leaned down to press a kiss to his brown cheek, brushing black curls back from his forehead with her right hand. The sound of Paulo's rasping breaths filled the room, but his entire countenance lit up when he saw her.
"Miss Anna, you came to see me. Thank you. I love you. I'm going to build a snowman for Christmas. Will you help me?
Her eyes went wide as her breath caught on a suppressed sob.
Oh, Paolo, honey, I love you too. And if we're together on Christmas Day, playing in the snow, you bet I'll help. Just try and stop me.
Lucas reached across Paolo to take Anna's hand and squeeze. Slender fingers gripped his, her throat working, lips trembling. Lucas watched her gain control and stroke Paolo's cheek, much in the same way he'd done earlier. Paolo's lashes fluttered shut, sleep claiming him after the effort he'd just expended. Anna's blue gaze fixed itself on Lucas.
When?
As soon as possible. A week, max. He's fading pretty fast. I've had him on the list for a while, and he's moved up to the number two spot. I think it's time to go.
He stood and motioned for Anna to follow him into the hall.
I made some phone calls and managed to get a plane on its way. A craft specifically designed for transporting medically fragile patients. It's got all the bells and whistles, almost better than an operating room. I just need someone to take him.
Where's he going? Why didn't you tell me?
Lucas blew out a sigh, rubbing a hand through his reddish-blonde hair.
I'm sorry. I haven't really had a chance. All this came together so fast.
No, it's okay,
she rushed to assure him. I want what's best for Paolo. I knew he was on the list. I'm just a little surprised it's actually happening, that's all.
Where are you taking him?
Rocking Wave Beach, South Carolina. They've offered to do the surgery for free. If you can travel with Paolo, then I feel confident about sending him to one of the best hospitals in the country, Travis Memorial.
He studied her, wondering if he should ask. But the thought of leaving her for an extended period of time did weird things to his emotions. He took a chance and blurted,
I know that since the orphanage is considered Paolo's guardian, one of the higher-level staff will have to accompany him, and I was hoping that would be you, if I can arrange it. Would you be willing to go with me?
Rocking Wave Beach?
She didn't like the squeak in her voice, but couldn't seem to help it. I'd rather go anywhere than there. What about another hospital, in another state? Lucas frowned, hope drooping at her negative response.
No. My buddy from college has offered to do this at no expense. Everything is already arranged.
And you want me to go with you?
Yes. Rocking Wave is perfect. It has one of the best heart transplant hospitals in America. I pulled some strings and got Paolo lined up on a transplant list, and he's almost at the top. There's only one other person on the list who's as sick as Paolo. And the surgery will be free.
She narrowed her gaze, rubbed her chin. Nightmares from her past paraded through her thoughts, mocking her, daring her. Could she finally face her fear?
Lord, what do I do?
Taking a deep breath, she said,
Okay, I'll go with him.
You.
Almost as though to reinforce the thought, she gave a decisive nod.
Yes, I'll go.
Lucas scrubbed a hand down a cheek.
You will. You're sure? He'll need round-the-clock care until he arrives at the hospital.
That's where you come in, right?
Lucas furrowed his brow. The indecisiveness on his face made her wonder what was going through his mind.
Yes, I grew up not too far from Rocking Wave Beach.
She blinked at the sudden switch in topic. What did his hometown have to do with Paolo?
So you said. I remember you telling me that during one of our little talks. A Haven, North Carolina, right?
Yep.
Home to the comfortably wealthy, about 2 hours from where she'd grown up. A complete and utter contrast to her childhood of poverty and struggle. Could she really go back there, to the place where her life had fallen apart? She had no doubt that Sean de Chastelaine, the man who wanted her dead, didn't have a clue where she was right now, or she'd have seen evidence of him a long time ago. But while he may be in jail, he still had his connections to the outside world. If she returned and he found out, her life would be in danger. She'd just have to keep him from finding out. She could go, be with Paolo, and when he sufficiently recovered, return home with him. Piece of cake, right?
Maybe.
Anna said her goodbyes to Paolo and told Lucas, Let me know when you have the official dates. I'll start making arrangements to leave. She left the hospital to head back to the orphanage, her mind swirling with memories breaking to the forefront of her thoughts. Pulling into her parking spot, she leaned her head against the steering wheel to gather herself together before climbing out of the Jeep. Champs de Chastelaine and Rocking Wave Beach. The combination was enough to send her heart crashing against her chest in sheer terror, bringing images from the dungeons of her mind to swirl in front of her, causing bile to rise to the back of her throat. She swallowed hard and gave up fighting the memories. 4 years ago, she'd been undercover on a sting operation for the FBI, and she'd barely escaped the city with her life. Just being in the same state would be diving headlong into the memories that became nightmares the moment she lay her head on the pillow at night. Anna sucked in a deep breath. Lord, I can't go back. I'm not strong enough to face those memories. Just setting foot back in the United States will bring it all back, and I don't want to remember. Chewing her lip, she pondered the fact that Rocking Wave Beach was a pretty big city. Surely, with a population of a couple hundred thousand, she wouldn't run into the killer that stalked her dreams, the one she'd allowed to nosedive her career and almost cause her to have a nervous breakdown. For a long time, she'd hidden, bogged down by depression, despair dogging her every waking moment. It had taken a long time for her to stop wishing the bullet that had pierced her uterus and left her barren had been about a foot higher to go right through her heart. But God had allowed her to live. By trusting him to be faithful, to get her through that awful time, she'd beaten the depression, and he'd led her to the children at the orphanage in Brazil. Children who had no mother, no father, and no one to tell them they were beautiful and loved. But she'd done that, and slowly she'd healed. At least, she thought she had. Until she'd been asked to return to the city that haunted her dreams. The thought brought into clarity the image of the man she'd helped put away. Champs de Chastelaine, with a military crew cut, strong jaw, bright white teeth outlined by firm, full lips that stretched into the smile that often graced the lifestyle section of the Rocking Wave Beach newspaper. His muscular shoulders had looked like they could support the world's burdens. He also had a heart of evil, the soul of a killer. Only he'd never been convicted of the murder she'd witnessed. The FBI had gotten him on tax evasion, but not murder. Yet. She shuddered, pressed a hand to her abdomen, and prayed for the strength to do this. Prayed for the courage to face her fear and defeat it. Turning off her thoughts, she finally left the car and entered the front door to the orphanage. Instead of stopping by her office, she went straight for her small suite of rooms located just down the hall. Stepping inside, she paused and looked around. Nothing out of place, everything organized just so. She grabbed a can of soda from the mini-fridge. Booting up her computer, she was relieved to see the internet connection giving off a strong signal. With all the storms out here, the connection was intermittent at best. A few clicks brought up her homepage, which was the Rocking Wave Beach News. She straightened. More news about de Chastelaine. He was being released. Soon. No exact date yet. Anna took another sip and gripped the can so hard she crunched it. The crackling noise and cold liquid running down her fingers jerked her from her memories. Breathing hard, she set the can down, wiping her hand on her jeans, ignoring the stickiness. What had happened to that evidence she'd found? She'd lost track of how many times she'd silently asked herself that question. Her colleague Justin didn't have an answer either. The FBI agents who'd come in behind her should have found that memory card with no trouble. The sting operation had gone off like clockwork, at least up to the point where she'd been shot, and they'd realized someone had slipped through the cracks. So who had messed up? Justin didn't know, and she was going to drive herself insane, running it over and over in her mind. Gritting her teeth, she shut down the computer. It didn't matter. She'd done her job, paid the price for doing it. She was in a different line of work now, didn't have to worry about men who killed, didn't have to wonder when she stepped outside whether a bullet would pierce her flesh. She definitely didn't miss the stress and tension of the job, or the adrenaline high, the satisfaction of a job well done, the knowledge she'd made a difference in keeping someone safe for one more day. She didn't miss it at all. Much. Terribly much. Well, maybe a little, if she could get over her fear. She was going back for Paolo, just Paolo, because she would need to be there to sign papers and offer him love and support. And that was it, period. "How's he doing?" Anna asked, as she settled onto the love seat beside Lucas, two glasses of lemonade fresh from the fridge clutched in each hand. She ignored the pitter-patter her heart made whenever she was close to him, or thought about him, or pictured them together at some point in the future, or someday, maybe. Uh-oh, don't go there, Anna. Ella, one of the orphanage staff who'd volunteered to go along as an extra pair of hands, snoozed on the pull-out sofa to the side. The plane cruised smoothly through the clouds at 35,000 feet, due to land at Rocking Wave Beach Airport in approximately 1 hour. They'd flown all night, the two pilots taking turns sleeping and flying. She'd just had a nap in the queen-size bed at the back of the plane and felt refreshed in spite of what lay ahead. Lucas looked up and took the glass of lemonade. "Thanks. He's sleeping right now." "He's such a special kid. He's been a real trooper. I just hope..." She bit her lip, looking down at the plush carpet.
"Yeah, me too."
Lucas set the glass on the end table, rising to check Paolo's vitals one more time.
"An ambulance will be waiting at the airport for us. I'll get him loaded on, then get a rental car while you and Ella ride with him to the hospital. I'll meet you all there."
"Don't you want to ride with him? I don't mind getting the car."
"No. I have something I need to take care of. He'll be in good care. My friend Mark Priestley is the heart surgeon on this case. He's going to be in the ambulance waiting on us."
Anna looked curious about what he needed to take care of, but didn't ask, just nodded. Slightly less than an hour later, they were on the ground and rolling Paolo into the ambulance. Lucas greeted Mark warmly.
"Hey, buddy, how are you? I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this."
The tall, slenderly built doctor had a head of shaggy blonde curls and smiling hazel eyes. He looked more like a surfer than the top-notch, highly in-demand surgeon that he was. He grabbed Lucas in a bear hug.
"Man, it's been forever."
Concern touched his eyes.
"You back for good?"
Lucas shrugged, ignoring the meaning behind the question.
"We'll see." "Yeah, and we'll talk, too."
Lucas motioned to Anna.
"This is the lady I was telling you about. Anna Freeman, this is Mark Priestley."
Mark turned his smile to Anna, holding out a hand, graced with slender yet strong fingers.
"Nice to meet you. You're as beautiful as Lucas said."
Anna blushed, which Lucas found extremely charming. He shot his buddy a glance that said, "Watch it," then introduced Ella, who smiled shyly and shook the doctor's hand. Anna, Mark, and Ella climbed into the ambulance, and Mark turned professional in the blink of an eye, checking Paolo's vitals, reading through his chart, and asking a dozen questions. Once he was satisfied, he waved Lucas on.
"We'll see you there."
Lucas watched the ambulance pull away. Sighing, he shivered, tugging his leather jacket tighter around himself. Gripping his cell phone, he wondered if he should even bother checking in with his family. After all, it had been close to 3 years since he'd even spoken to his father. 3 years since his father had blamed him for his brother's death. Lucas shook off the thoughts, clipped his phone back into its case, and headed for the rental car counter. 4 days ago, when he'd called to let his family know he'd be coming home, Ted, the family chauffeur, had been thrilled to hear from him and had offered to send a car around to the airport. Lucas had refused because, until he had more time to get a feel for how things were going to go at home and with his father, he didn't want to be without immediate transportation. A rental car would be just fine.
"Excuse me, sir."
Lucas looked up to see a fresh-faced teen dressed in the popular tradition of faded frayed blue jeans and a cropped top, revealing a pierced navel. Didn't the girl know it was the last week in October and unseasonably cold? Hiding his thoughts, he asked.
Yes?
We're on a mission trip, and I just wanted to give you this. You look like you could use a friend.
She handed over the little slip of paper. A tract. Great. Just what he needed. He forced a smile.
Thanks. Good luck with your trip.
A beautiful smile crossed her lips to mesh with a peace written in her eyes. Eyes that reminded him of Anna, even though this girl's eyes were chocolate brown and Anna's were sky blue. I don't need luck, she said. I've got God.
Well, since I don't have God, I guess I'll have to stick with luck.
Why that thought depressed him, he wasn't sure, but instead of dwelling on it, he crossed to the car rental place to get in line. A dancing reindeer with a red nose greeted him as he approached the counter, bobbing in time to Jingle Bell Rock. He shook his head. Not even Thanksgiving yet, and Christmas waved to him from every direction. The trash can to his right caught his attention, while the tract burned a hole in the palm of his hand. Curling his fingers around the paper, he started to slam dunk it, when from the corner of his eye, he caught sight of a blue jean-clad leg jiggling in time to the music in the girl's head. She was still watching him. Instead of scoring a two-pointer, he slid the paper into the front pocket of his jacket. He'd toss it later when she wasn't around. No use in hurting her feelings, even if she was deluded into thinking God cared about anything she did. Finally, keys in hand, he headed for his car, tugging his phone from the clip on his side as he walked, his other hand pulling his rolling suitcase along behind him. Anna's and Ella's things would be shipped to the hospital within the hour. Frigid air greeted him as he stepped outside, nearly sucking every last drop of oxygen from his shocked lungs. He'd forgotten how cold it could get even in the South. Used to 80-plus degree weather year-round, the 52 degrees he was now shivering in seemed to make his blood freeze mid-flow. Fingers trembling, he pressed the remote unlock for his compact little car and climbed in. The heater finally going full blast, he pulled out of the parking garage and stopped at the stop sign. Tapping his fingers on the wheel, he finally decided it was now or never to ask the question he'd been wondering for the past 3 years. Pulling out his phone, he dialed his father's number.
Hello?
The voice sounded weaker, not quite containing the strength it had had 3 years ago.
Hello, Father. It's me, Lucas.
Silence.
Father?
A throat clearing was his only clue that the line hadn't been disconnected.
Lucas, well, I must say, son, you've taken me quite by surprise.
The voice was stronger now, although Lucas heard the shock in the words.
May I ask the purpose of your call?
The British accent had never faded from his father's voice in all the time he'd been in the United States. The formal stiffness the man injected into his tone was enough to intimidate the most stalwart. Fortunately, Lucas was immune.
Yes, sir. I've had a question that's been bothering me for the last 3 years or so, and I've finally decided to ask it. Very well. What is it?
Typical. Straight to the point.
No, how are you? Where have you been? What have you been doing with your life since you've been gone?
Old hurt and new anger shot through him.
Did you really mean it when you said it should have been me that died in the fire instead of Lance?
2. Anna sat by the bedside of the sick boy, praying like she'd never prayed before. For Paolo, for herself, for Lucas, and for the strength to face her fear. She would not think about the past right now. Ella would be back in a few minutes. She'd taken a short break to run a few personal errands before ensconcing herself by Paolo's side. Reaching for the backpack Anna carried in lieu of a purse, she grabbed her Bible and turned to the verse that had become her mantra over the last 4 years. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. She whispered the verse to herself, praying, God, I know the time has come to face the past, but I've got to be honest with you. I'm scared. Really, really scared. And I don't want to be. Don't let the fear handicap me. Could you please keep your hand of protection on whatever it is I'm getting myself back into? Hey. She looked up to see Lucas standing in the door, looking rumpled and wonderful, his reddish-blonde hair windblown. Or maybe it was messy from the number of times he'd shoved his fingers through it. No matter. He still looked good. Safe. A comfort zone. She wondered what he'd do if she ran to him and threw her arms around him. Better not find out. Instead, she cleared her throat and asked, Hey, yourself. Did you get your errand run? When his jaw started twitching, she figured that was the wrong question to ask. Something like that, he muttered. More like an overdue phone call. Ah. She refused to press. He'd tell her eventually. He always did. At least he used to. What did Mark say? He agrees we need to change two of Paolo's meds. There are newer, more effective ones on the market now. I didn't even know about them until 2 weeks ago. He shook his head. I've been out of touch too long. Lucas, you can't blame yourself. Paolo arrived on our doorstep as sick as any child I've ever seen, but he seemed perfectly healthy after recovering from that virus. There's no way any of us could have known it affected his heart. Mentally, I know that. I did the best I could. But still. He trailed off, shaking his head. I can't help wondering if I missed something. Should have suggested bringing him to the U.S. sooner. Brazil is so far behind in healthcare. If you hadn't acted as you did, Paolo would be gone by now. Unfortunately, he's a product of his country, and very, very blessed that you were there when he needed you. Lucas slipped an arm around her shoulders for a squeeze, then let her go. Thanks. You always know the right thing to say. Anna blinked. Not that she and Lucas hadn't shared a friendly hug or two, but it always surprised her. He wasn't normally the most demonstrative person. Growing up in a strict British household, he'd told her affectionate moments were few and far between. Sure, she gulped. You're welcome. Lucas leaned over Paolo one more time while Anna stepped to the side, eyeing the phone on the nightstand by the bed. She took a deep breath, wondering if she should call Justin and just check in, let him know she was back in the States, get an update on De Chastelaine. The old adage, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, ran through her mind.
What's going on in that head of yours, Anna?
Lucas's insightful question startled her. Chewing her lip, she debated how much she could tell him. She could just shrug the question off, but found herself wanting him to know, wanting to confide in him, open up to him. Carrying her burden alone had become so tiresome. I was just thinking about how I ended up in Brazil. I told you a little about it.
You just said you had to get away from home for a while. That you'd witnessed a crime and didn't feel safe.
Right. Well, it's a little more in-depth than that.
Okay.
He held out his hand.
Why don't we walk down to the cafeteria and get a bite to eat? You can explain over our savory hospital food.
Anna was about to agree when the door opened. Dr. Mark Priestley entered, followed by an orderly pushing a gurney.
I thought Paolo might like a roommate. Sometimes it can get awfully lonely when you can't get out of bed. The television will probably get old fast.
A boy about Paolo's age lay on the gurney. Wide green eyes took in his new surroundings. A shock of red hair stood on end, and the freckles on his pasty white cheeks appeared three-dimensional. The portable heart monitor rode in front of him. The oxygen tube blended into his face. A worried mother, the last to enter the room, was in her early 30s and the feminine version of her son. Mark spoke up.
Missy, I'd like to introduce you to some friends of mine. This is Anna Freeman and Lucas Bennett. They're here with Paolo, who's
Sample complete. Ready to continue?